The disclaimer for tonight's topic is that obviously whatever is discussed this evening, like all shurim, is not for halacha lemaisa, especially something as sensitive as vaccinations and halacha, which we'll try to discuss this evening. Any practical shailas about what to do or what not to do should be definitely discussed with one's rav and one's physician. My other disclaimer is I don't claim to be a physician, and as much as I can read on the internet, I'm willing to admit, others are not, that my knowledge is very limited from a medical standpoint, and I'm really mevatel my das to those who do this for a living, doctors, scientists, those who study. But from what I was able to gather, a little bit of the history, a little bit of the medical element of vaccination, then we'll see how exactly it plays back into halacha. Just a short background, which is very relevant to the discussion. The reason why vaccinations have become somewhat of a hot topic lately is because in 1998 there was a study in The Lancet, which is one of the famous medical journals produced in England, written by a fellow doctor named Dr. Andrew Wakefield. Dr. Andrew Wakefield was a GI, a gastroenterologist. That was his profession. He wrote an article together with 12 other people, 12 other doctors, and they studied a connection between autism and vaccinations. Now, the way he came to this was interesting. This Dr. Wakefield was, again, a GI. He was working predominantly on GI-related. He was working on IBS and all these other things. And he somehow got involved in this theory that there's a connection between vaccinations and autism. That was produced in 1998. That became very, very popular. It made its way to 60 Minutes here in America, and that was it. It went wild. This idea that there's a direct correlation between vaccinations and autism, and that put a very, very big hesitancy for many parents not to vaccinate their child. The main vaccination that he was focusing on was the MMR vaccination, measles, mumps, and rubella. Those are the three. That was the main vaccination that he was working with, where he was finding a correlation between that and autism. That was what put a big damper on many people's giving the MMR. The MMR was the most most popular type of vaccination, which is why many of those viruses are almost obsolete today due to the fact that we are vaccinated. What ended up happening was, in February of 2010, a retraction was written in The Lancet that this was a bogus, not proven theory. 10 out of the 12 doctors that wrote it with him retracted, and ultimately this Dr. Wakefield lost his medical license because this was not an honest and a fair type of a study that he did. Now, this Dr. Wakefield was not done and out with medicine. He continued to practice medicine, and he produced a very interesting movie that you can watch on your old called Vaxxed, V-A-X-X-E-D. This is a movie where he goes on and to bring down different people that are all anti-vaccination. So he has not, although he lost his license, he came to America for a little bit, he was jumping around, but he lost his medical license because what he did was considered unethical to make a study that was not based on honest information. Now, there are people today, doctors today, this fellow is still alive. There are doctors today that come to the defense of him, and they say that he lost his license incorrectly, and they weren't right, and he's not as bad as he sounds to be. But in the medical world, many people are very hesitant to anything that came out of that report, and they don't believe there's any connection to anything he has to say. Now, one of the main elements that was in the vaccinations till the year 2001 was called thimerosal. Thimerosal, since 2001, has been removed from the MMR vaccination. It's still found in some of the flu vaccinations, but in the MMR one, it's taken out. So if that's one of the reasons why people are skeptical, is due to that specific ingredient, it's been removed since 2001. So that's one element of why people are skeptical to give vaccinations to their small children, is due to this correlation that it leads to autism. Although, to my knowledge, and it's limited, there's not been any studies on the books that prove this connection. If you go on the internet, you will see many families from all over the world, all over the country, saying that their baby was healthy, their child was healthy, they go for vaccinations, the next day the baby stopped talking. There are stories like that. They're not medically, I don't think there's enough data from a medical standpoint, but there are people that will tell you that their child was ruined, their child became autistic, their child lost the ability to talk, this, that, and the other, all due to the fact that they were vaccinated. So, because of that backdrop, many parents ad hayyim azet today are very skeptical to give immunizations to their children because they're afraid of this direct connection. Most pediatricians, if I'm not, I would say 99% of the pediatricians in the world today are pushing for these vaccinations, and they think it's the right thing to do. There's another thought out there in the anti-vaccination world, is that they believe that this whole thing is a scam. The pharmaceutical companies are trying to make money, and the way they make money is by pushing these vaccinations, and it's a whole conspiracy theory. That is a thought out there by many people. You'd be surprised. Many people are of the belief this whole thing is bogus. We don't need all these vaccinations. It used to be people got 3 vaccinations. Today, by the time you're done, you get 17 or 18 vaccinations. They don't believe we need so much. They think this is a way for the pharmaceutical companies to make money, and they're in cahoots with everyone, and the doctors are in cahoots, and the government's in cahoots. This is a wild theory out there that many people believe in. There's another thought out there, and this is a logical discussion, and this is really a halachic discussion. You have a healthy human being that is healthy, and then you inject in him a part of a virus. It's a dead virus, but it's still, you're injecting things that, but guess for the virus, there's a lot of funny things that go into vaccination. So one of the arguments that people say is, why would I take a healthy human being and inject into them something which is who knows what? Now, these vaccinations, from a legal point, are not as vetted as other things are. There was a law passed by President Reagan, I believe, that the companies cannot be sued. Because if they'd be sued, then no one would want to produce vaccinations, because anything and everything can happen. So the vetting process for vaccinations are not the same for drugs. It's an interesting thing from a legal point. So there is some skepticism of exactly what goes into these vaccinations that we take. But what's negeya to us is that ruba de ruba of the doctors today, pediatricians specifically, are pro-vaccinations, and they will tell you that that is the best way to ensure that your child has a healthy chance at this world. Now, there are studies that say that autism has risen in unbelievable numbers over the years, to the point now that there's some studies that say 1 out of every 37 or 38 children today can be potentially autistic. That is a very vague connection to vaccinations. That could also be because of who knows what. That could be because of technology. I have no idea what could cause autism. I'm not a doctor. And the studies haven't proven it yet either, because it's too broad. Yes, we all agree autism has gotten much larger over the years, but who says that's because of vaccinations? It's hard to know for sure. Yeah. Exactly. Everything is very relevant to the time and date that we're discussing. Many of these types of problems might have been around years ago, but they weren't labeled, nor were they defined. But that's a study, and that's part of the discussion where it comes into this evening. Where it gets even more lebedic, so to say, is what happens, what's the school's policy? And that's really why this became a very hot topic recently, not recently, it really started out in 2008. 2010, and now more recently it's becoming a big issue. Just a few minutes before I came to this year, I got a letter from a school in Passaic where they're closing tomorrow because there was an outbreak of measles. Not an outbreak. One person had measles, and therefore they have to close the school by the law, and they have to find out who didn't get vaccinated. So this is a big problem in the schools, shuls, communities, about children and adults that are not vaccinated. Now, by law, by New York State law, every child must be vaccinated unless they either have a religious permission, or they have a health reason why they can't be vaccinated. Some people cannot be vaccinated. For example, infants don't get all their vaccinations until they're older. So if you have a baby, and Nebuch, there are stories, I heard an interview from a fellow who works for Chai Lifeline, Nebuch, there have been stories of religious, from babies, whose parents vaccinated them as much as they can. You have to be a certain age, and they got exposed to someone who wasn't, and they died from it. So people that have difficulty getting vaccinations for medical reasons, or they're not old enough, or they have issues with their own immune system, they are very much affected by those that are not being immunized. Now, the shaila that came up in 2008, 2010, and is still relevant today, is can a yeshiva by law say, I'm not going to take a kid into the yeshiva who does not get vaccinated? So by law, every child must get vaccinated unless he has a religious reason to say no. The question is there a religious reason not to get vaccinated? That's really the question today. Is there enough of a stronghold? Now, the truth is, religious schools have different rules than public schools. That's already a legal issue, so that might not be relevant to the yeshivas. Just to note, in 2008, there was a letter sent out by very chashiv gedolim, We'll name a few. This is stuff that you all can find online. It's not any private information. And I think it was 2008 or 2009. Signed by Rav Malkiel Cutler, Shmuel Kamenetsky, Rabbi Yehuda Vachfogel. Many of the great gedolim of our generation, where they held, you cannot force a parent to vaccinate a child, nor can you force a child out of the yeshiva if he's not vaccinated. One of those gedolim who signed that letter was also Baron Schechter, the Rashi of Chaim Berlin. He recently wrote a letter in 2018 where he changed his mind. He recently took that back, and in 2018 he wrote, just a few days ago, he wrote a letter that you may force a child out of yeshiva if he does not vaccinate. That has now become widely the more accepted opinion, except for two very big gedolim, mainly Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky and Rav Malkiel Cutler in Lakewood. Just today, Rav Moshe Shtermer from Eretz Yisrael wrote a letter to Rav Malkiel Cutler arguing this point with him, saying that he thinks it's not correct. If a child does not get his proper vaccinations, he should not be in the yeshiva. So this is a very big debate, and it's ongoing. This was brought up at the Agudah Convention this past weekend. This is an ongoing debate about yeshivas and about kids, but we're going to try to tackle it from a merely a halachic standpoint. What does halacha dictate with regard to vaccinations? In Chicago, the CRC from Chicago printed a letter where they require all their schools to mandate vaccinations, and any child that is not vaccinated is not allowed to school. In Lakewood today, there are children that are not in school because some yeshivas will not let them in. Here,
a letter from Tag, yeah. They said less than 0.5% of the school is not. But as of last week,
everyone has to be.
They will not allow a child in school.
Almost every yeshiva became now. Again, this is funny because it wasn't like this about 10 years ago. About 10 years ago, the feeling was exactly the opposite. You can't force it. Now everyone's switching sides. Be it as it may, let's try our best, if we can, to discuss this from a strictly halachic, not political. Again, I don't have any. I don't get paid by the pharmaceutical companies for selling vaccinations. Now, from what I understand, it's a very big industry, and the pharmaceutical company is pretty much untouchable, and they do make a lot of money. Now, I'm not saying they're in it for the money, and I'm not saying it's conspiracy theory, but there are people who talk like that, and we'll try to see if there's some answers to some of those questions.
What's the reason to keep his parents?
Because he potentially can bring it to someone else.
So
even someone who gets vaccinated, if exposed, can still catch some of it. That's the medical line. What we'll discuss today, a shayla that was presented to Rabbi Yashiv, was that if everyone gets vaccinated, so it's on a much lower level. So why can't I say if, 99% of the kids in the school get vaccinated, so my kid comes to school, is not really going to share it too much. Even again, from a medical standpoint, it will. Because even if someone gets vaccinated, they still have a chance of catching it. So if the one kid in school brings it in, he still could harm the rest of the school. We'll talk hopefully a little later about the Pesach of Rabbi Yashiv. I have a tshuva written from Rabbi Morgenstern on the last page. It's a little hard to read. This was written in Gimel Kislev Tovshin Ayin Tes. That's a few weeks ago. Rabbi Morgenstern, who was the right-hand man to Rabbi Yashiv, makes it very clear what Rabbi Yashiv held. We know what Rabbi Yashiv held from another source, Rabbi Dr. Akiva Tetz. He was one of the great doctors, originally from South Africa and Eretz Yisrael. He also has spoken, I've heard him being interviewed, where he spoke directly, not to Rabbi Yashiv, but he's been involved with Rabbi Yashiv, to what Rabbi Yashiv's take on vaccination is. Let's see from the Torah. We all know that we as Jews have an obligation to guard ourselves from getting sick. We have to take the proper precautionary measures from harming yourself. It says in the Torah, "Raki shamer lecha u'shmar nafshecha." You have to guard yourself. Pentishkach es advar masheru einecha, lest you forget these things. Upen yasum levavcha, you should forget from your heart. Kol yimecheyecha, all the days of your life. So the first part of the pasuk, everyone knows. He shamer lecha u'shmar nafshecha ma'id. You should guard your soul. That pasuk, if you see from the context of the pasuk, is not talking about staying safe. That pasuk is talking about staying religious. Not staying safe. There's another pasuk. V'nishmartim ma'oyle nafshei seichem. You must guard your soul a lot. Ki lo yisim kol tmuna b'yom dibe Hashem aleichem b'chorev mitoch eish. What exactly are these pasuk referring to? So if you look at the Gemara in Brachos Daf Lamed Beis, the Gemara tells us a story. Tanu Rabbanon. Ma'ise b'chosed echad shayim espalo b'derech. There was a Jew, a pious Jew, that was davening on the road. Bo sar echad. A certain government official came, v'nosan lo shalom, and he greeted him. V'hichzol lo shalom, and this chassid did not return the greeting. Himten lo yad shisam tefillah, say this sar, this high-ranking member of some form of government at the time, waited, and l'achr shisam tefillah, say amal yireka, he told him, you fool. V'aloi kassid b'teraschim, it says in your Bible, rak yishomer l'cha u'shmar nafshecha, you have to guard your life. Uksiv, and it says, v'nishmartim mo'idah nafshecheichem, you have to take actual provisions to ensure the safety of your life. Kishanasati l'cha shalom, when I offered you shalom, lama lo yichzarati li shalom, why didn't you respond? Ima yisi chaytich roishcha b'saif, I would have chopped your head off on the spot. Mi hayo tevei es damchem, midi? Would anyone be able to claim your blood? You did it to yourself. So the Tsar told this chassid that it says in your Torah, these two psukim that we just quoted, that you have to guard your life and make sure you protect your life. So Frakta Marsha number four, the Tsar doesn't understand the psukim. Frakta Marsha number four, Haikra B'shichas HaTorah Kamayri. The first pasuk of Yishomer L'cha, guard yourself and guard your soul, has nothing to do with your physical well-being. It has to do with your spiritual well-being. It's referring to the fact that you have a prohibition of remembering, don't forget the Torah. Guard yourself, review your Torah, lest you forget your Torah. Nothing to do with your physical well-being. Says the Marsha in the second pasuk also. V'nishmartem oydan avshaseichem, says the Marsha, that pasuk is talking about shloim namin b'shum tavnis pesel. That's saying you shouldn't believe in avodah zarah. Nothing to do with guarding your physical well-being. So frankly, Marsha, what's going on over here? So the Marsha leaves off with a kasha. So the Torah Tamima number five comes to the obvious statement, and he writes something beautifully. He writes, V'chein ma'demargali b'puri de'inshi. What is often said in the mouth of people, ha'pozik v'nishmartim o'idlan avshaseich. If you stop your average religious Jew on the street and you ask them, where does it say you have to watch your life and make sure you do things that are healthy, I'll tell you, it says the pozik v'nishmartim o'idlan avshaseich. Says the Torah to me, but that's a false statement according to the Marsha. That pozik has nothing to do with your physical well-being. It's an incorrect statement. Says the Marsha, says the Torah to me, v'zeh u'ledivri ha'marsha b'tos. According to the Marsha, this is a mistaken quote. However, says the Torah to me, I'm going to come to the defense of the statement, and I'm going to tell you that when it says in the pasuk nefesh, it doesn't just mean your spiritual well-being, it means your physical well-being as well. Although that's not normally the simple reading of the pasuk, that's what it means over here. So, according to this understanding, there are two psukim in the Torah that give off an emphasis that we have to do what we can do to guard our life. We need to go beyond regular business as usual. We must make sure that we protect ourselves from things that could be harmful. Perhaps that requires us to do something like a vaccination. If we can prevent ourselves from getting sick, or even something that can potentially harm us or even kill, we need to do that. This is why we can't jump in front of moving vehicles. This is why we have to eat healthy and exercise, because we have an obligation to prevent and to guard our body. There's another pasuk in the Torah that's probably more mefurush, that we have an obligation to ensure people don't get harmed because of us. That's the mitzvah of makkel. The Torah writes in Parshas Kisisa number 6, Kisiv nebai is chadash, when a person will build a new house, v'asisa ma'akel ligagecha. You have a requirement to put a roof around, a wall around your roof. If you have a house, you must do so. Why, says the Torah? V'loisosim domim v'visech. You should not place blood in your house, if someone will fall there. So this is a source in the Torah where you have to prevent others from being harmed due to you. Now again, I didn't directly push the guy over the wall, but if I build myself a nice house, and again, this is an interesting situation. We're talking about a visitor, right? I invite him into my house. I say, hey, come to my house. And he, by mistake, falls off the wagon. I didn't push him. I didn't plan it. But because my house has allows for someone to get harmed, I'm held accountable. So that's, one could argue, it's very similar to a situation where if I'm carrying a disease and I invite you into my house, I say, hey, come for Shabbos, or I go to your house, which is even worse. So what I'm doing is I'm causing people to get harmed. That should be similar to this in the Torah. Now, if you look carefully in the pasuk, there's two things taking place. There's an assay of Vasisa Makala Gagecha. You have a positive mitzvah to put up a roof, to put up a fence, and then you have a lav of a loisasim dam bevisech. You are not allowed there to be something in your house that is harmful or dangerous. The Gemara in two places in Chas, maybe even three, as far as I know, Baba Kama and Ksubis. The Gemara learned that from this, an interesting halacha. Zog the Gemara, the Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Reb Nasanoim, Eminayin Shal Yigadol Odom Kelev Ra B'Sech Beser. You're not allowed to have a wild dog in your house. Val Yamit Sulam Ru'ua B'Sech Beser. And you're not allowed to have a weak, rickety ladder. You're not allowed to have steps that are not done properly. Why? Tamad Lo'im Aloy Sosim Dabim B'Sech. So the Gemara learned out from this pasuk that there's a certain vibe, there's a lot in the Torah to have things that are potentially harmful around you that people can be come in contact with. So we're going to have to see, can that include someone who's not vaccinated? He's a walking danger. He's he might not know it, he might not mean to do it, but Lamais, if he's walking around with the potential to harm others, that should be a violation potentially of Loisos and Dom Beveisech. In Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber Paskins is a Mitov Chav Zayin Sifhei. Now, when we talk of, everyone knows this pasuk in the Torah about putting a fence around your roof. How high are these roofs that we're talking about? So you think it must be the guy has a very, very hot house. So he invites people to come on his patio for a barbecue. And people can easily lean over and fall. So the Torah requires him to put a fence. Says the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch, and much of this Mechaber is really cut and pasted from the Rambam. Goyva hamaka ein pachos me'asar tfachim. It's not less than 10 tfachim. K'tei shle yipa mimenu hanoif. So someone shouldn't fall. So we're talking about 10 tfachim. How high is 10 tfachim? About 3 feet. What is the likelihood of someone falling 3 feet and dying? Very, very slim. It's shayach, don't get me wrong. But we think of the din of Micah, we think we're talking about a guy who has a 15-story house. 3 feet. The guy's roof is 3 feet off the ground. And still the Torah says you got to put up a fence to make sure no one falls.
What kind of roof is the size of the barrier, not the size?
Yeah, but again, it's also mavor that we're talking about. Right, but we're talking about he needs it to be because we don't want him to fall. Where is he going to fall?
Really?
Yeah.
I don't understand. How does the Shulchan Aruch come up with it that it's a sar tefachim? The pasuk says makel legegecha. What roof is?
So the Achrayim point this out that that's not the normal case. And Echlam, it's not the normal case. I agree. But look at the end of it. V'tzarech liyos ha-mechitza chazok, you have to have a strong wall. K'dei sheyishan adam alev lo tipol. Obviously, if you can lean on it and fall over, that doesn't solve the part. Now, look at the next halach. Says the Mechaber, kol ha-meniach gagoy b'lei mako, if I put up a roof without a mako, I lost the mitzvah to say, I also violated a loisa say, shenemar, v'loisas adam v'esech. Says the Mechaber, echad gag v'echad kol dovish ish basakana. Let's say I don't have a roof, but I have something else that's dangerous. The ro'u sheyich shabal adam, and it's possible that someone can get harmed. This is very relevant for those that have swimming pools. Swimming pools, potentially very dangerous. It's not a gag, it's not a roof. But the Mechaber says it doesn't have to be a roof. It has to be anything that's dangerous. V'yamus, and someone can die. Kigoyin shahiloi be'er. That's he had a be'er. He had some form of a pit, a well. I bar bechatzeroi beinchish b'mayim beinchayim b'mayim chayv lasayis echuyo gvoy asar tvachim. Oy lasayis lekisur k'desh leyipa ba'odem yamus. Everything's about dying. It's sounds like from the Mechaber, we're not just concerned that a person will fall and break his ankle. We're concerned someone's going to die. It sounds like there's an emphasis over here on death. You're not allowed to allow someone to die because of your negligence. One more halacha, two more, says the Mechaber. Again, it sounds like he brings home the point again. Any mikshol that can cause someone to die, mitzvah sasei lasi, you must remove it. Shenemar, ulahu yushamer mimenu, ulachzir bidov yafe yafe. You got to guard it and protect it, yafe yafe. Double carefully. Shenemar, look at the pasuk the Mechaber quotes. Hishamu lecha ushmar nafshecha. He quotes the pasuk that the Mashal rejected. But the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch quotes it lalach. If you don't remove these and you allow these michshals to be there, that's one level. Now there's another level. This is vis-a-vis me to you. Meaning I'm not allowed to do things that could cause me or my property to harm you. Now there's certain things I'm not allowed to do for myself. What is that? Har beidvarim, says the Shulchan Aruch, asru chachamim, it's not midaraisa, it's only midarabanan, v'nei sheyesh basakonis nefashis. There are certain things we're not allowed to do as Jews because they're potentially harmful. Now, what's the numbers? What's the statistics of how dangerous? Right, everything is dangerous. On some level, driving a car is very dangerous. Right? We all know we're allowed to drive cars. Says the Shulchan Aruch, what are they? So he tells you, you have to look in your day, Kuf Tezayin, which we'll look at in a few minutes. The last halacha, says the Mechaber, kol oivir al dvarim elu, anyone who violates any of the above, which is referring to something dangerous. I'm going to do what I want. None of your business what I do with my life. If I want to put my life in danger, if I want to go out and not get myself vaccinated, or I want to jump in front of a moving car, it's my business. Or I don't care so much. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Makas Mardus. We give this guy Makas Mardus. Vanizer Bahem, and someone who's careful to stay away from things that are harmful. Tovoy Brochas Toiv. He's going to get a brocha of good things. So the Tzitzel Yezer has a tshuva in Chelek Tezvav, Simon Lametes, who's talking about a very interesting shayla, which I believe is very relevant to vaccination. And before I saw today's letter from Rav Moshe Shtermach, I put this on, but I saw today that Rav Moshe Shtermach also draws such a connection. The Tzitzel Yezer was talking about being exposed to secondhand smoke. He wrote this tshuva in 1982. In 1982, we learned a lot more about smoking. And we continue to learn much more. But in 1982, he wrote a tshuva. Someone asked him, what happens if you're constantly surrounded by secondhand smoke? Do you have the right to stop them? and say, you are ruining my life by your secondhand smoke? That was a shayla that Tzitzelez was discussing. I believe, perhaps, it's somewhat connected to vaccination, because I can argue that your lack of getting vaccinated is putting me in direct harm. Just like your secondhand smoke. Again, you have the right to smoke and ruin your life, maybe, but like you have the right not to get vaccinated, but if you're going to be around me, you're affecting me. I thought there might be...
If I get vaccinated, what difference is it?
Because you can still get affected. From a medical point, even if you get vaccinated, but if someone who's not vaccinated, you can still be affected, because it's not 100% an ironclad guarantee. It's better, but it's not guaranteed.
I think it's the same thing. Secondhand smoke, you're for sure getting, but... But not getting vaccinated, it doesn't mean you're
going to be made. Fear.
You have to get it yourself.
That's right. That's true. There's a step, clearly a step removed. I mean, if I sit around smokers, I'm definitely inhaling secondhand smoke. If I walk around Jews in shul, I have no idea if he's carrying it. He might not carry it. It's 100%. It's very possible it's not being exposed at all. 100%. I think it's fair. So in the middle of that tshuva, that Tzitzeliezer writes, that this makas magdus that we give to the guy who's negligent on his medical concerns, says the Tzitzeliezer, what type of violation is it? Now the lashon of the mechaber is makas magdus. That's usually a dead giveaway. That's the rabbanon. So he quotes the baragoyla. Aval levush b'choshimish b'tsham pshita leishu deraisa. The levush is a violation of a din deraisa. When a person is not careful with his well-being, of his health, and just says, whatever it's going to be, it's going to be. I don't listen to doctors. I don't care what the reports are. Again, today we're living in a world where many reports are on one side of the vaccination argument. I would say most of the medical reports are pro it. There are those that are against it. I'm not going to lie. But I think ruba de ruba of the medical field today is pro it. Again, you can argue that they're all in cahoots. There are theories like that. I'm not going to lie. There are people that say all the doctors are in cahoots and all the pediatricians are in cahoots and the whole world is in cahoots because they all want to stay connected to the pharmaceutical companies. Okay? And then, you know, if you believe in that, you can believe in a lot of things. But there is such a theory out there. Says it's Tzitzeliezer, but... Aval Alavush says it's deraisa. Aye, what do you do with the Rambam? El de bepashas de Rambam, mashem maskel salochas azayish bloshen harbet varm asu chachamim mashem de svile de wisse humid rabban. So there seems to be a machloikis. If someone violates hishamer lechonafshecha, he might be in a violation of isur deraisa, according to some of these things that you're not supposed to do. Now, what are some of those things a person is not supposed to do? Says the Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeya Kuf Tezayin. Tzarich lizar melitim mois bepiv. Person is not supposed to put money in his mouth. Why? Listen to this. There might be dried out spit from someone who's infected. And then by touch, it goes into your mouth. You're going to get infected. Now, a person will not die from, I don't believe, from the roik of a mukishchin. It's probably not going to kill him. You get infected, sick. V'lo yitin pas yodei tachas shechyoi shemanogi yodei b'mitzayra oi b'samra v'lo yitin kikar lechem tachas shechyi. You're not supposed to put a loaf of bread under your armpit. Not that you'd want to do that, but that's what you're not supposed to do. But mehazeya, because of the sweat. Now, I don't believe the sweat can cause death. But you see, the Shulchan Aruch writes, there are certain things we have to do that are, today we call them basic hygiene, that we need to live a life, that we have to live healthy. And something that could potentially hurt us, we're not allowed to do. Says the Ramo, v'chein yizor mikol dvarim ha-mevil m'dei sakana. We have to be careful from anything that can lead us to sakana. Ki sakanta chamiru me'isura. Because sakana is always more chum than isur. Now, I believe the anti-vaccinations will read this Ramah and say this is a riot to them. You have to be careful from sakana. How are you allowed to inject into your body something which is dangerous? Chamir sakana, you know, they read this Ramah the other way. I would argue maybe the Ramah is going the other way. The Ramah says you have to do whatever you can do to ensure you don't get sick. If that means vaccinating, so that means vaccinating. I don't know. V'yishloch ha-shoyis l'safik sakana l'safik isur. U'l'chein. That's why you're not allowed to walk in dangerous places. We have to do whatever we can do to stay safe. Now, you could argue that part of doing whatever you need to do to stay safe is to take something like a vaccination, which will prevent a person from getting any one of these types of diseases. The Dvar of Rome we rarely quote in a Tuesday night halacha shiur. The Dvar of Rome is more of a lamdash sefer, but he was written as a shas and tshuva sefer. He was the Kovner Rav, the Dvar of Rome. So the Dvar of Rome has an interesting piece in Siman Lamed Zayin. This piece in Siman Lamed Zayin we actually saw Sunday morning when we were talking about mezuzah, but it's kedai that it's discussing over here. Someone sent a shout out to the Kovner Rav about it seemed like he had a pit in his backyard and he wanted to know, does he have to put up a mica around it? So the Dvar of Rome at length in Siman Lamed Zayin went through the whole discussion of mica, and he points out something which is interesting and perhaps relevant to halacha l'maisa. He says, if you look at the Lashonis in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, there's always this emphasis on death, death, and death. Which means you're not allowed to do things that can cause death and death. What happens if the thing I'm going to do is not going to cause death? The guy will get hurt. Let's say I have a rickety, you know, step, but there's no way the guy can fall from the step and die. He can break his ankle, he can hurt his back, he's never going to die. Do I still have a lav of loisos and dam beveisecha? Or loisos and dam beveisecha is only if someone's going to die. Someone's got to die here. Now, if you looked at the Shulchan Aruch, and I made this, I emphasize this, he keeps on talking about death and death and death. So the Dvar Avraham points out that it sounds like it's only if someone's going to die. But if no one's going to die, then you wouldn't have to. Now, if you jump to vaccinations for a second, if a guy says, well, I'm not going to get vaccinated, what's going to happen? So someone will get sick. Will someone necessarily die? Perhaps. If children, babies, infants, those that have complications with their immune system, but most of the people won't die from some, if a guy doesn't get the flu vaccination. Probably, if he gives it to someone else, the other person will not die from the flu. He'll be out of work for a week. It depends. It's hard to know for sure because we come in contact with so many people today. We were, you know, back then you lived in your shtetl and that was it. You know, today, you know, in the course of one day, you go from here to the city on the subway, on the bus, you're in contact with a million people. You go to shul, you shake hands Shabbos morning. You know, everything is spread. So the Dvar Avraham points out that the Lashonis in the Rambam in the Shulchan Aruch, who basically copy and paste the Rambam. It sounds like these prohibitions are only if someone's going to die. If no one's going to die from it, so you're not in a violation of Makkah, you're not in a violation of Lassos and Dam Vesech. However, it says in Dvar Avraham, but from the Sefer Achinuch, it's Mefarsh not like that. And he quotes other Rishonim, that it seems to be a Machloikis Rishonim, is in order to violate Lassos and Dam Vesech, what do I have to do? Do I have to have something that can kill someone, or only something that is harmful? Asks the Dvar Avraham, let's go back to the Gemara Baba Kama. The Gemara Baba Kama said, you're not allowed to have a wild dog. What's the wild dog going to do? So he says, it must be the wild dog has potential to kill. He must be such a vicious type of dog that the dog has at least a potential to kill. Doesn't mean he will, but he could. The sulam ru'ua, the weak, rickety ladder, a person must be able to fall from it. A guy has, let's say, a first floor, one step. You have to say, would that really be loisos and dam beveisecha? It's a machlokes rishonim. Shulchan Aruch seems to pass in the way the Dvar Avraham sets it up. It would have to be able to have the ability to kill. The Aruch HaShulchan pass.
Statistically, I can fly or drive.
That's correct.
Flying is safer.
Correct.
But if I have an accident, I'll probably die. But driving.
That's correct.
That's, does that mean I shouldn't fly?
No,
100. That's death.
That's correct. That's the old argument that we're going to have to talk about today. You know, what happened to the svara of, you know, Shaymer Pesayim Hashem? God guards those that are supposedly foolish. Can you say that about vaccinations? So Rav Moshe has a tshuva that's often not quoted because it was very outdated, where he says such a svara about smoking. And people argue and say, Rav Moshe would have never said it today. So Moshe would see the statistics and the numbers. The Sicily Ezer, in this tshuva which I photocopied, he says he rejects Shaymer Pesayim Hashem by smoking. He thinks it's not true. I wonder and I speculate, what would the Achrenim say about vaccinations? Shaymer Pesayim Hashem. God guards over the foolish. So if I'm foolish and I don't get vaccinated, Hashem will guard me. I don't know. Because again, the reason why vaccinations are complicated is because there's another side to the argument. There's no one that says smoking is healthy, as far as I know. So it's one-sided. Vaccinations, there is a group, albeit a small group, that are convinced that vaccinating is the worst thing you can do in the world. Not getting vaccinated is not making a mistake. It's being healthy. They'll look at those people and the other one and say, you're putting dangerous things into your body. So this is why this sugya is a little bit more complicated, because there is two sides to it. Again, from a halachic standpoint, we normally go with the Rav Reifim. I think Rav Reifim today disagree with that, and they say vaccinations are healthy. But there is another side. That's why things get a little bit more complicated over here. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, Mefurish.
That's not a little chafili. You can't say, okay, I'm going to do something. Because, okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Isn't that like more of the evidence?
Yeah, it just means that nothing bad is going to happen. So you can't tell me that,
yeah,
you know.
That doesn't mean you don't have to be proactive about it.
Oh, they'll tell you that means what I'm doing. It's okay for me not to get vaccinated. You can't have a tain on me. Because Hashem will, you can't say, it says in Shulchan Aruch you have to guard, because it doesn't. It's Shem Epsayim Hashem. Hashem will make sure nothing happens.
Shem Epsayim Hashem and then jump in front of a car.
So that's the question. When you say Shem Epsayim Hashem? That's also true. That's the other. Again, this is a unique case. There's a lot of, you know, differences.
Some are fools.
Yeah. But Shem.
I'm a fool.
But Shem. Hashem still watches them. The truth is, it's Mefurish in Aruch HaShulchan, in Simen Tav Chav Zayin. Aruch HaShulchan rules explicitly that you have that the din of makah legag is not only and loisos and dam beveisecha, which means you're not allowed to have dangerous things in your house. It's not only things that can kill, but things that can even be dangerous. He writes beforeish loisos and dam kol dovah shiyocha ligrei misa oy nizikin or harm. If you have something in your house that can potentially cause harm, you also have to remove it. If it's a gabari paskins like that as well, that he thinks the lav of loisos and dam beveisecha is not only things that can kill, but even things that are harmful. So, which means if you have something, or you yourself are harmful, you are violating the lav of the Torah of loisos and dam beveisecha. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a very famous tshuva we've spoken about many times, where he talks about, this tshuva is really about dancing and clapping on Shabbos. But in the middle of that tshuva, he explains the lumdus to what exactly is the prohibition of drinking water that's left open, mayim megula. So Rav Moshe writes the following line. He says, again, we're a little short on time, so we're going to just have to read some of this outside. Rav Moshe basically says that the chshash of drinking mayim megula is a very, very low chshash. Because it has to be so, because if it would be a real chshash, I don't need the Rabbanan to prohibit it. It's also under the banner of Yisham Elchan Afshecha. Right? I'm not allowed to do things that are dangerous. Elamai says, Rav Moshe, the statistics of drinking mayim megula and being harmful is very, very low. Which is why I need the Rabbanan to come in and say you're not allowed to do it. So what do you see from Rav Moshe? That some of the things that you're not allowed to do are things which have very low risk of harm. But still, you're not allowed to do things even if the risk is very low. So again, let's go back to our discussion. I'm not allowed to, you know, what's the risk or what's the chance, what's the likelihood of something bad happening to me if I don't get vaccinated? I don't know the studies, but one could argue it's low, it's medium low, whatever it is. But l'chaira, you don't have the right to do things that even on a low level, perhaps, you're not allowed to do. Yeah.
I can only tell you, I know my own family, long before they had vaccinations, I have a cousin who's now in his 70s. My aunt was, she was exposed to German measles when she was pregnant. As a result,
rubella.
She was born retarded.
Yep, that's right.
She never got the measles, but she was exposed.
That's right.
That's
the biggest chash for a lot of these things are for pregnant women or for the babies, that they have the very bad impact on babies. So that's the question. The question is, how can I walk around with a virus, whether I know or not, that could harm other Jews? I don't have the right. I'm not allowed to harm myself. I'm not allowed to. So you'll say, oh, myself, it doesn't hurt me because I'm an adult and I can, but I'm harming others. Why is that not veloy sasam dom beveisecha? I'm not allowed to invite you into my house if I have a step that's a little crookedy and you might fall. Yet I'm allowed to walk around with an active virus. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't see how that's not the equivalent. Now you're telling me to something. I don't know if I have it. So maybe a person's mechuyev to check himself. And if he finds that, he has to walk around with a mask and he has to wear gloves. He's not going to come in contact with people. Perhaps. I don't know. So it's hard to know exactly what the levels are. So the Tzitz Eliezer that I wrote over here, number 16, he was talking about secondhand smoke. And he writes that on secondhand smoke, because the statistics are already out, we have no right to say shayim b'shayim b'shayim. So I argue. Today with vaccinations, statistics are out. There's no debating that there's a reason why doctors don't see polio anymore today. That's because of vaccinations. There's a metzias. These things are out today because they work. Vaccinations clearly prevent these diseases from coming out. There's a reason why measles and rubella are not seen as much in the medical world is because kids are vaccinated for them. Now, if we would not vaccinate them, we'd have a real problem on our hands. So to say that I don't need to get vaccinated, that's not necessarily true, because you're going to cause for the outbreak and for an epidemic of these things to be spread. And then at the end he writes, Aloch Lamaisa, he got a hold, you have the right to stop anyone from smoking in front of you. I'll secondhand smoke. You can tell someone you're not allowed to smoke around me. He was talking about a case where it was done like bikvias. You know, every week, every day, you get together. Obviously, if you see a guy once, right, they used to smoke around each other, right? By lunch or whatever the case was, everyone's on top of each other. You could say to the guys, "Listen, I'm sorry. You're not allowed to do this. You have to go to." That's why they created smoking sections in certain areas and restaurants and legal points. They have this today in American style. You can't smoke anywhere anymore inside. Basically, today everyone has to go outside to smoke because of secondhand smoke. So it says Eliezer writes. The same idea. If you're going to be affecting me negatively, I have the right to stop you. Now again, can you compare that to vaccinations? Maybe. There's kashas, there's pirchas, but perhaps that's a discussion. Another strong argument for vaccinations is based on Rambam and Hilchos Deis in number 17. This is supposedly where one of the sources that Rav Shechter feels is a good motivation for why one should vaccinate himself. The Rambam writes the following thing in Hilchos Deis, Perek Dalet. Hoyol v'hayois guf beryo v'sholei midaki Hashemu. We have to remember that our body that we get from Hashem is from Hashem, and we have to treat it properly and guard it and do the best we can do with it. Sharei yi'ef sheshiyovin ayoyed adovim mi'idiyas haboyrei v'hucholei. You have to stay away from things that can harm your guf. So again, the anti-vaccinators will say, forget. This Rambam says, you got to stay away from viruses. Why would you inject it into your body? The flip side is no, you have to stay away from things that can cause you harm, meaning preventative medicine is also medicine. Some people argue, it says in Torah, mikan mishus l'rapa l'roife. That means once you're sick. But preventative, you don't have a makar for it. That's not true. preventative medicine is medicine also. That's also medicine. It doesn't mean only once you get sick the doctor steps in. The doctor also gives you advice. What to eat, what not to eat. If you look in the Rambam Hilchos Deos, the Rambam goes on and on about what to eat, what not to eat, how to exercise, what to do, what not to do, which means the Rambam is telling you that's part of how to live a life. It's also included in medical procedures. There's a Sefer HaChassidim, which I think is directly connected to vaccinations. He writes, you're not allowed to take a bath, go to the mikvah, shower. If you know you're a mukishchin, which we know is a very catchy disease, you're not allowed to go to the same shower with someone, Ella imkein yodienu, unless you let him know. Shenemar, v'hafta reacha kamoicha, v'ksiv leisam adam reach. Says Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, you're not allowed, basically, to expose someone to medical disease. Now, this doesn't only have to, again, mukishchin presumably didn't kill you, but it's any disease. If you know you have a disease, and you're going to become in direct contact with someone, you have to let him know. You have to be my dear. And listen, by the way, I have these diseases. I heard today from a reputable pediatrician that he told the father that before you let your kid play with anyone, you have to ask three things. Do they have vaccinations? Do they have guards on their window? And do they have a gun in the house? Which is an interesting thing to think about today, but it's relevant. These are three things that you need to know as a parent before you let your kid go to this house. Are they vaccinated? If you're going to bring your kid to a house of people that are not vaccinated, you're bringing Leisosim Damim to his house. You're putting your children in potential sakan. Yeah, that's a shiloh. That's a shiloh. You know, an active cold, and you shake hands, and we come in contact, we cough on people. It gets sticky. What exactly, you know? I'm not sure the gun. depends on how. You have to know the guy who has the gun if you really trust him with the gun. There are certain people, if I knew they had a gun, I'd run the opposite direction because I know they don't know how to do it. I know they don't know what to do with the gun. But maybe that's a share for a different time, carrying a gun, bringing guns to shuls. Okay, there's a bear hative and some tough I involved. Interesting bear hative. The bear hative writes, Kisha babuois porchim betinoikis. It's a smallpox. When there's an epidemic of smallpox, umesim and children die, yesh ligzor tinus. That's the reason for having a tinus. Right? Smallpox today is also pretty much obsolete in America. V'kvar nitva slicha tachlu yilod, and there's already a slicha written about this. U'bishlo kasav, says the shlo b'chol echad yavriach bonav min ha'ir beis hazois. You must get your kids out of a city that's infected with smallpox. Di machla hamistabekes. It's a catchy infection. So again, I argue. You can tell me, well, that's when it's already here. But to go out and vaccinate your kid to prevent someone who may get it, maybe you don't have to, maybe. But maybe this is the same idea. You have to do whatever you can do in your power to prevent your children from being exposed to infection. So if I can vaccinate them, I'm giving them the best chance of being exposed. Mr. Brewer writes even stronger from the Shlach Kaddish. If you don't take your kid out from an infectious area, the blood is on your hands, so to say. If you allow your children to be exposed to, again, we're talking about when there's already a rampant disease, and I don't think any parent would do this unless they say some form of a svara of, you know, shem epsayim Hashem, whatever, it's omen Hashemayim, Hashem knows better, these types of funny svaras. That's not what we do normally. We say, you know, you got to prevent. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. One more Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah writes, U'mitzvah lahanik atzmei b'mida toivah, v'anhoga toivah, lishmar b'riyosah. It's good for a person to conduct himself in a way that he has good health. So you should be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, this is not necessarily speaking about vaccination. It's speaking about good health, exercising and eating well and things like that. So perhaps that also includes vaccinations. Now, the Tiferes Yisrael lived in the early 1800s. He's one of the earliest people to discuss vaccinations explicitly. And he writes the following in his commentary to Mishnayis Yuma. He says, "Umizeh nearly het the lasois shel pakakon." I'm not even going to try to translate that word, but it's vaccinations. Afshe echad me elef mace. Now listen to his statistics. Early 1800s, 1 out of 1,000 would die from the vaccination. Al koponim she misavu bo have apakakon ativim asakana kreviyoser. Think about those numbers. That if you get vaccinated, 1 out of 1,000 die from the vaccination, but the numbers are high if you don't get vaccinated. So what do you do now? Says it's Tiferes Yisrael, ulechein rashay lahachdas es atzmai b'sakon rechoika k'tilahasas es atzmai b'sakon kreva. You have the right. This is a sugi we talked about a few weeks ago, putting yourself in danger. He goes on to discuss the shayla we talked about with giving organs and stuff. But he paskes alach l'maisa, you're allowed to get vaccinated. Now again, back then, his argument was not getting vaccinated was more dangerous than getting vaccinated. Today, can you make that same argument? It depends which camp you're part of. The anti-vaccinators will tell you that's not true. More harm comes to someone who gets vaccinated than someone who doesn't get vaccinated. Perhaps. From a medical point, let's just speak this out, if you don't believe in all the anti-vaxxers' idea about all the illnesses that come from vaccination, the worst a person can get from being vaccinated, he'll get a very small fever, he'll get very small potential harm will come from the actual vaccinations. That's if you don't believe that the vaccination itself is going to be harming you. So on that angle, you have to balance. Well, if a person gets the measles, it's much worse. A person gets vaccinated for the measles, so the worst thing is the baby that gets vaccinated will run a fever for a day, and the baby will be okay. So again, same Tiferes Yisrael balancing act. If you have to balance it that way, you say, of course, go for the vaccination. It's much better than Chas v'Shalom getting the disease itself. The Pa'asadcha, the Shmuel David Monk, one of the German Rabbonim, so he was also asked about vaccinations. This is before the contemporary Achrayim that we have. And he quotes a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch who writes, Sha'av chasidei ha'olam nisrapu aydei roifim. Even very chasidim, even righteous people need to come on to doctors. Va'animna min ha'roifim oise beidu. If a person does not go to doctors, he's doing two things wrong. Shesoymech al ha'nes. First of all, you're relying on a nes. Mekan shenitim v'shus l'rapu l'rebbe. We're supposed to go to doctors. Use medical information as much as we can. Va'idei ze maskiyun avin oisov. Beiz da ha'vi yura. It's gaiva. I don't need a doctor. I'm going to get better by myself. The mitzvah list rabbis, we all have a mitzvah to go to doctors. Says Rishmul of the Muck, not only do you have to go to doctors, you have to prevent yourself from getting harmed. The same way, once I'm sick, I go to a doctor, I have to prevent myself from getting sick. Then he writes, he was talking about vaccinations. It was widely accepted. Even though there are those that were skeptical of vaccinations, kvanis pashet l'heter, it's already been accepted l'heter. In the Sefer Nishma Saram, he quotes from Rav Norwith that he says you are not mechuyev to get a vaccination, but he strongly suggests that parents vaccinate their children. He thinks it's a very, very good idea. That it also seems to be the opinion of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach as well. That he doesn't force it, but he thinks it's a very good idea. The Shulchan Shloimo has a discussion, can you get a vaccination on Shabbos? Is it Doicha Shabbos? So he says it all depends how strong the Chashash is. The Shurei Toyel Roy from this is for Rabbi Zilberstein. Rabbi Zilberstein is also a very, very big proponent for vaccinations because he believes that the tzad danger is much lower than the tzad of anything else. Meaning, getting vaccinated puts you in a much better place than not getting vaccinated. Therefore, he paskins that one should get vaccinated. That is also the opinion of Rabbi Yashiv. Rabbi Yashiv had a svara that because today the normal way of dealing with life is to get vaccinated, that's the accepted opinion today amongst doctors. So Rabbi Morgenstern, who was Rabbi Yashiv's right-hand man, he was of the opinion, quoting from Rabbi Yashiv and many others, I heard this from Rabbi Yashiv as well, Rabbi Yashiv held one must get vaccinated because that's the normal way of dealing with things in life, and the normal way one has to get vaccinated. That is also the opinion of Rabbi David Feinstein and Rabbi Reuven Feinstein. However, as we mentioned in the past, Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky does not seem to agree. Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky feels that one could, one is not forced, nor should one be forced to get vaccinated. That should be up to them. Rav Shmuel first in Chicago, as other Rabbanim in Chicago and the CRC, we mentioned this also, are all of the opinion one must get vaccinated. If not, it's a violation of everything we talked about this evening. And one school has the right to force a child not to get vaccinated. So, I get vaccinated, my children get vaccinated, but it is definitely something that one should discuss with their doctor, with their rabbi, whether or not it fits into all of that we discussed this evening in the Gedarim of Halacha, Vishamil Chanafshecha, and Loisasim Damim Bevesech.